More O's for Advent. I want you to hear that right. More O's for Advent. Not morose for Advent, but more O's for Advent. There's so many famous O hymns in Christmas, in the season. O come, all ye faithful. O come, Emmanuel. O holy night. O little town of Bethlehem. O sing a song of Bethlehem. And so I thought I would just add a few more O's to Advent. O, O, O's versus ho, ho, ho's. I'm desperate for some laughs, people. I'm desperate. Today's gospel text takes us backwards from last week. Jeremy preached from Matthew 11 last week, where John the Baptist asks, "Are you the one to come, or should we wait for another?" And so today we go back to Matthew 1. And I wonder if John, sitting on death row under Herod's evil rule in a prison cell, would have been able to hearken back to even some of the texts that we've heard today. The prophetic word from Isaiah that we've already heard that said, "Look, the young woman shall conceive and bear a son, and they shall name him Emmanuel," which means God with us. So on Advent 4, I ask, what is consuming the attention of our hearts and minds in these days of December? Have you been able to slow down enough to catch glimpses of God's hope, his peace, or his joy? And today is the Sunday of love. So are you feeling the love this morning? Or do you better resonate with last week's sermon, with John in prison, overwhelmed by injustice, overwhelmed by illness, overwhelmed by loss, overwhelmed by suffering? And perhaps you're asking the Lord, "Are you the one to come, or should I be waiting for something else?" Who gets the final word during this season of Advent? I hope on this Sunday, Advent 4, that we can enter into today's text and hear a word of love, a love that comes through companionship, so that no matter what circumstances we find ourselves in today, this story, this ancient sacred text might empower us, that we might feel or hear or receive something anew from God. Three more O's for Advent. Here's number one. O, the drama. Verses 18 to 21 set up a pretty wild scenario for us. In many ways, Christmas, cultural Christmas, has sanitized the nativity scene. I was looking around our house at some of the nativity scenes. So this one, which is a beautiful wooden carved nativity scene, it's great, but it doesn't smell like a barnyard. It's pretty clean, it's pretty sanitized, it's pretty beautiful. And then I looked at this fabric nativity scene that we have. Joseph and Mary, beautiful, beautiful. And Joseph, oh, so peaceful. He's not sweating. He's not fretting. He looks so peaceful. Mom. This is not the Joseph of verses 18 to 21. Let's read again. "Now the birth of Jesus the Messiah took place in this way. When his mother Mary had been engaged to Joseph, but before they lived together, she was found to be with child from the Holy Spirit. Her husband Joseph, being a righteous man and unwilling to expose her to public disgrace, planned to dismiss her quietly." This is high drama, is it not? Mary, young, 16. Joseph, little older, maybe in his early 20s, in love. They're engaged, they're betrothed. In this cultural setting, this was a one-year engagement or betrothal that led to marriage, and it was a legally binding agreement in their relationship. So Mary is pregnant, and Joseph is sure that he's not the father, but because of his righteousness, he chooses to quietly take care of this matter in the most honorable way possible, hoping not to shame the love of his life, but at the same time, he's not going to go through with this marriage, as far as we can see. And so in the midst of this turmoil, can you imagine the conversation that Joseph and Mary might have behind closed doors? Joseph saying, "You're what? Pregnant? You don't know who the father is? You were what? Overshadowed by God's Spirit?" Mary honestly, humbly responding, "This is what happened. God said he's chosen me to bear a son who will be Messiah. I don't understand it either. You've got to believe me. It wasn't just a dream. I'm pregnant." Can you imagine that conversation? The closest I can get is Sandy and my first year of marriage. And she and her friends, she was working at the VA hospital. She calls me on a December late morning. I'm still in seminary. She's working at the VA, paying for seminary, God bless her. At lunch break, she gets together with some of her friends, and she says, "I think I'm pregnant." And so her friends go, okay, go get a pregnancy test, and they send her out, and she comes back, and she pees on the stick, and then she phones me nervously, but kind of excited, and she says, "Ryan, guess what?" And I'm like, "I don't know, you're on lunch break. What, you had lasagna instead of bologna sandwich?" "No, guess what? I'm pregnant." "You're pregnant?" These dramatic pauses. "Really? Are you sure?" "Yeah, some of the girls went out and took a test, and I'm pregnant." "Okay, gotta go. Love ya." So I'm trying to do my studies in the afternoon. I'm just thinking, "God, this, you must have this great sense of humor, because this is not what we were expecting." And it was Christmas, you know, it was Advent. So this little voice, which might have been God, or who knows what it was, said, "Well, could you think about Joseph? You think you had it bad." That's as close as I could get. It's unimaginable, though, what Joseph and Mary must have been feeling, what they have been talking about. And yet, in the midst of this drama, God shows up with some words of clarity in the midst of their calamity. The second O is this: O, the companionship. And so we read on verse 20 in today's gospel text. "But just when he," Joseph, "had resolved to do this," quietly dismiss her, "an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream and said, 'Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary as your wife, for the child conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will bear a son, and you are to name him Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins.'" Joseph's counter plan is getting foiled. The angel of the Lord appears in a dream and speaks these words, "Do not be afraid." And he wakes up from this dream, and we don't know how verses 22 or 23 come about, but Joseph maybe remembers this prophetic word from Isaiah 7. Matthew writes in verse 22, "All this took place to fulfill what had been spoken by the Lord through the prophet. 'Look, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and they shall name him Emmanuel,' which means God is with us." And it's quite possible that Joseph, being a righteous man, a man of the scriptures, the law, and the prophets, he might have been piecing this together himself. He might have been saying, "Well, maybe there is something to this." He might have reflected on even another prophet, Micah chapter 5, who says, "But you, O Bethlehem of Ephrathah, you who are the one of the little clans of Judah, From you shall come forth for me one who is to rule in Israel, whose origin is from of old, from ancient days. And he shall stand and feed his flock in the strength of the Lord, in the majesty of the name of the Lord his God, and they shall live secure. For now he shall be great to the ends of the earth, and he shall be the one of peace. So maybe some of these prophetic words were filling Joseph's mind, his heart, his soul. Oh, the companionship of this God who is with us, who in the scriptures, the laws, and the prophets, we read time and time again, do not be afraid. Our third and final O is this. O, the risk of love. Whatever reasoning or reckoning Joseph went through, in verse 24 we read, when Joseph awoke from sleep, he did as the angel of the Lord commanded. He took her as his wife, but had no marital relations with her until she had borne a son, and he named him Jesus. And so during this last week of Advent, as I was talking to the children this morning, can we take on a challenge together? How about taking on Joseph and Mary as our heroes of faith this week? Might we press into this story of Joseph and Mary so deeply that we might live like them? I found an interesting poem about Joseph and Mary from my favorite Advent book, and it's by W.H. Auden, the English-American poet, 1900s. He writes, "Blessed woman, excellent man, redeem for the dull the average way, that common ungifted natures may believe that their normal vision can walk to perfection. Walk to perfection with the blessed woman and the excellent man." It may seem like a dubious task, but lest we forget, we have this phenomenal advantage being post-resurrection people. The one who, as Matthew will word it much later in the gospel, we know that Jesus is with us to the very end of the age. This Jesus who rose, who promised it by his Holy Spirit that he would be with us. This Jesus who lives in us and through us by the presence and power of the Holy Spirit. So, yes, we can live like Joseph and Mary, empowered by this same God who empowered Joseph and Mary 2,000 years ago. We don't need to find magic shoes or magic sandals. But we probably need to pray and humble ourselves, enter the story, ask for God's strength. And so the question again I'll ask is, will you and I press into this story this week so that we might live like Joseph and Mary? Joseph did as the angel of the Lord commanded. He obeyed. And maybe that's the simple response for you or me this week. To wake up from a dream. Maybe God will speak to us through dreams this week. Maybe he'll speak to us through one another. Maybe he'll speak to us through certain circumstances he places us in. But let's be ready to respond by faith, to respond in obedience, like the quiet, confident obedience of Joseph. And what about Mary? Even though the focus in these final verses of today's text isn't on Mary, we do know her story. We know that she lived by faith and not by sight. We know that she carried and nurtured this child in her womb and gave birth to a son. We know from other gospels, like Luke chapter 1, that she said, "I am the Lord's servant. May it be to me according to your word." So again, as we're walking through these last days of Advent, whatever God might bring to us, may we respond as Mary did and say, "Lord, I'm your servant. May it be to me according to your word." These final days of Advent for Mary and Joseph were not easy. This is not necessarily simple to walk in the way of Joseph and Mary this week. We may need to grit our teeth. We may need to move beyond the images of what we see here. We may need to sweat. We may fret. We may struggle. We may not look like shiny saints this week. But it's a way of obedience. As one commentator put it, it's a way of obedience that is a means of grace. Frederick Dale Bruner, the Matthew commentator, said, "Matthew's gospel clearly makes obedience to Jesus' commands a means of grace, with all the theological difficulties this involves. Yet Jesus' commands are so often embedded in contexts of promise and grace." And then he uses this example. He says, "His commands in the Sermon on the Mount are preceded by the gracious Beatitudes, words of grace, and followed by the gift of the Lord's Prayer, words of promise." So as we press into the story this week, let's live in God's promise. Let's live in God's grace. In your bulletins today, I'll invite you, just before we have a moment of quiet reflection, to read with me the first half of this poem called "The Dream" by Eugene Peterson. I'll read the first couple of paragraphs, and then we'll have a moment of silence to pray and reflect, and then I'll close with a word of prayer. "Amiably at home with virtue and evil, the righteousness of Joseph and Herod's wickedness, I'm ever and always a stranger to grace. I need this annual angel visitation, this sudden dive by dream into reality, to know the Virgin conceives and God is with us. The dream powers its way through winter weather and gives me the vision to see the Jesus gift." As we pray in a moment of silence, may the eyes of our hearts see the Jesus gift anew. Let's sit with these saints of ours, Joseph and Mary, and be gently encouraged to stay faithful to watching and waiting, to movements of obedience and faith in these last days of Advent. A moment of silence to pray together. Lord, we wait in joyful expectation. We wait for your appearing. We wait for your light. We wait for you who never get tired of coming into our world. Amen.